A brand new week with Mark and Serena today. Nice to see you, Serena.
Hiya.
Yeah, we've never actually done this before.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so we're going to hold each other's hand and wander through the next 3 hours and get there to the end. But really great to have you on the show.
Aw, thanks, Mark.
How's the weekend?
It's good. I actually finally got to see Wonder Woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder why he was wearing that little blue short skirt. Or red one, is it?
Yeah. I can't help it. It was really good, though. I was kind of hesitant thinking about Gal Gadot playing Wonder Woman, but yeah. I was very impressed.
Right. And in fact, there's a movie that I must go out and see it. I might do it tonight, actually. I couldn't get over there for the weekend. And it's the movie about Tupac, the rapper.
Oh, yes.
Which we spoke a lot about, of course, on the show that Real Time with William last week. Absolutely raving about it.
Yeah.
So I want to go and learn a bit more about Tupac. You know, not that I was greatly into his music or anything like that, but the whole phenomenon of this, you know, rap superstar.
Yeah. Would you actually prep and do your research before seeing the film, or would you actually just go and see the film outright?
Definitely not. I don't prep for anything. No, I would just show up. I would just turn up, and see what it's all about.
Yeah, it's supposed to be amazing. But good weekend.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I've just got into again collecting vinyl records. It's something that I did years ago when I was a young lad in my teens. And then crazily, one day I remember my dad calling me up, and I was on a cruise ship at the time. And he said, "What shall I do with all these vinyl records, lad? You've left home and everything." I said, "Oh, take them to the car boot sale. Vinyl's finished. It's all CDs now."
You didn't.
Now I'm thinking, oh, what a silly boy you were. So I've started recollecting again. So I went around a few shops looking at vinyl.
Oh,
I got a couple. I got the Inner Visions album by Stevie Wonder, which I've been after for a while.
Yeah.
And also The Eagles' Greatest Hits, which, you know, is one that should be in everybody's collection.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. 100%. You know, I got a record player for my husband recently.
Did you?
So we want to start doing that as well. I don't know whether he's into it, but I don't know if it's more of a present for me. But yeah, I understand your connection with vinyl.
I think it might be a present for you, Serena. Now, you've probably gathered by now that Steph has gone AWOL. Again. Now, she does this quite often, you know. She'll just disappear out of the country. But I'm lucky enough that I've got her on the line right now. Steph, where have you disappeared to this time?
Well, I'm in Cambodia, Mark. I hopped on the inaugural Emirates flight yesterday morning, the very first one out of Dubai to Phnom Penh. Which, by the way, that has been a big topic of discussion this morning with the group that I'm in. How you actually say Phnom Penh. And that's what we've decided. It's Phnom. Because a lot of people say Phnom Penh.
Yeah, I would say Phnom Penh. Yeah, but so it's Phnom, is it?
Yeah, you got to say the P. All of the locals here say the first P. So that's what we're going with.
If that's what the locals do, I'm happy with that. So, yeah, I'll tell you, my kind of vision of Phnom Penh would be lots of bicycles. Am I right?
Lots of bicycles, but on the side of them, tuk-tuk. You've got tons of bicycles, but no bicycles that are just solo bicycles. I've seen one bicycle, Mark, that pretty much had an entire restaurant on the side of it. Like the chairs, the tables, the heater to cook with, all of the cooking.
Amazing.
So no one wastes their time on just riding a bicycle. It's always got to have something else on the side as well. So got here last night, and we are 3 hours ahead of you guys in Dubai. So I've been up, and we've been out really early this morning. The thing about Cambodia is that it heats up and it starts to get quite humid in the middle of the day. So everybody sort of gets up really early, gets stuff done, and then by the afternoon time, they start to go back indoors. It sometimes rains in the afternoon at this time of year as well. I've been told it's going to rain in probably about an hour, which we don't mind in Dubai, do we? A bit of rain. Quite like it.
Definitely. Love it. And there's something about Asian rain, isn't there? It's warm. Even though it's raining, you're nice and warm.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. But right now, we've been to the palace this morning, so we've done all of that official stuff that you really have to do when you come to Phnom Penh. All the history, the National Museum. But now, I am in a market, like one of the biggest markets I've ever seen. And you would love this bit, because I'm in the bit with all of the tourist souvenirs.
Oh, fridge magnets galore.
Yeah, fridge magnets, bags, shorts, scarves. In fact, you could be in a souk in Deira, pretty much.
Now, tell me about where you're staying, Steph, because I've heard on the grapevine it's pretty swanky.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's the Raffles Le Royal Hotel, and I think it's the nicest one here. It's colonial, it's beautiful. It's got an old wing, which luckily we're staying in. And actually, if you follow the ticket on Instagram, I'm doing stories all day, Instagram stories. Just look for the ticket travels. And you can follow the stories. There's a few bits of the room in the hotel on there. The pool. Oh, my gosh, the pool is to die for. There's two pools, actually. And the funniest thing last night when I went to bed, I've got a little balcony and I thought, I might just open this, get a bit of air through. It's quite hot. And there's a sticker on the window that says, please keep the windows and doors closed for Mother Nature, monkeys and mosquitoes. There's monkeys outside.
What are you most scared of, the monkeys or the mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes, definitely. I've got some fruit in my room to fend off the monkeys. I think I could deal with them. Mosquitoes won't take that. They want blood.
And what is a Cambodian breakfast like, Steph?
Cambodian breakfast. This morning I had noodles. And get this, I feel like the world is changing. On this trip that I'm on, there's about 5 people out of the 10 that are all vegetarian. And I'm a vegetarian now as well. And lots of vegetarian food, which I wouldn't have imagined if I'd come here in the past, being able to get a lot of good vegetarian food. But the tofu is really, really nice here. And yeah, there's options for everyone, really. A lot of meat as well.
I've got to ask, have you got me a fridge magnet yet?
Well, funny, but the flight, the Emirates flight that comes through, it actually stops off in Yangon. So you stop on the tarmac for about 2 hours, the crew changes, everything changes over, and then you set off again. So because we weren't going to Myanmar, a guy came around with a little bag, and I'm sure it's a fridge magnet, and he gave me a fridge magnet from Myanmar, and I thought, present sorted for Mar.
Well done. So what's on the agenda for the rest of the day?
We are at this market. I think it's going to take about an hour to have a good look around. And then we're heading for a massage, because you can have a 90-minute massage for $20. $20 US.
Wow.
Dollars are the currency to have in Cambodia, by the way. Even the local money, they don't want it. They just want you to spend dollars here. So $20 for a 90-minute massage, you're going to do that. And then we've got dinner at the hotel at Raffles tonight, which I think is going to be good. And the famous Elephant Bar as well, which is the place to go when you're in Phnom Penh. So I'm going to be having a drink there before dinner. But yes, do follow on Instagram stories, because there's a lot going on there. And you can see how the trip's going. And on Facebook, of course. I'm putting videos on Facebook and pictures on there too.
Absolutely awesome, Steph. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow with more from Phnom Penh. Did I say it right?
You did. Well done. 10 out of 10.
That sounds absolutely awful. She's shopping,
yeah.
She's getting a massage,
yeah.
And there's food involved.
And she's going to pop in the Elephant Bar later on.
It's not fair. I'm already jealous.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be checking in with Stefan. Do check out our Facebook and Instagram stories as well if you want to follow her on her journey with that inaugural flight with Emirates Airline. Now, let's do one of these.
Tickets Tidbit.
Tidbit, a small and particularly interesting item of gossip or information.
Do you ever come across any bad smells on planes, Mark?
Yes, occasionally.
Well, some cabin crew have revealed sort of tricks of the trade, so to speak, on how to get rid of those nasty odours.
Okay.
So it's not like you can open a window, can you, when you're up in miles?
I've never actually tried it, but I don't think it would turn out
wouldn't
very well.
Wouldn't be advisable,
no,
would it?
No, it wouldn't.
So apparently coffee is the magical answer. So they'll
really?
Brew. Yeah, the cabin crew will brew a very large pot of coffee when they're going to clean the bathrooms on the plane.
Yeah.
And in most cases, they'll just pour it down the loo, so to speak, and it neutralizes any strong smells. So the research has been done with this. Dr. Alan Hirsch, he's a researcher from the Smell and Taste Research Center in Chicago.
Imagine having that on your business card.
I know, right? And apparently the beans act like a scent neutralizer. So they wipe your other smells from the nose. It's just like when you go to the perfume counter and they've got the little jars of coffee beans. So it's just another reason to love the magic of coffee.
So it kind of it's almost like cleaning your palate.
Yeah.
Well, not quite, but it works in a similar way.
Hundreds and thousands of miles up in the air.
Fantastic. I've learned something. I'm going to take coffee beans with me now, I think,
every time
I go. Right, nice one. We'll have another ticket tidbit in an hour.
Ticket talk back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
Yeah, this is where you get involved in the conversation, listeners, and we love to get your thoughts on a story. Today, what I've come up with takes us all the way to Belgium. Have you ever been to Belgium?
No, I haven't.
No,
I have to go.
I've been to Belgium when I was a little lad. My mum and dad took me over there to Ostend for my holidays. Anyway, Belgium is in the middle of a bit of a rip-off, really, as apparently food in restaurants in Bruges costs more for tourists than it does for locals.
Yeah, apparently almost up to 10%, isn't it?
10%? Yeah. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, tourists are being charged more for the food in this popular holiday destination of Bruges. They made a movie about it as
yeah,
well. Colin Farrell, do you remember that?
It's great, wasn't
in
it?
In Bruges, yeah. 10% more, and it's being considered perfectly legal by the Belgian Consumer Protection Agency. And it doesn't discriminate against any race or religion. Restaurant owners offer discounts to their clients based on their accents.
Yeah. Because they can't actually ask you for your passport, can they?
I wonder how I'd get on with my older accent. Now, Gauthier Giver, he runs a restaurant in Bruges. He said, 10% discount in Bruges, yes, this is explicitly on the receipt. Why do we do it? We do it for the regulars. We do not only aim at mass tourism, but we're also building up a relationship with the people that come to us on a regular basis. What do you think of it? What do you think about
it? I actually don't mind this. I know it sounds kind of shocking when you first hear it, but thinking about it and just reading more about the article, they're looking after their own. They're looking after the locals. It's showing a bit of love to them, just how you said. It's not about mass tourism. And let's face it, we all kind of budget anyway when we go on holiday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not being forced to go into a restaurant. If you don't want to go into that restaurant and pay that extra 10%, then don't, and find somewhere else to go. But then if it's across the board, then you've probably got a bit of a problem.
So you'd be quite happy sitting in a restaurant, you know, you've ordered your Brugian feast.
Yep.
The bill comes and say, I don't know what the currency is there. It's that long since I've been there. But say, you know, okay, for you, it's 10 Brugian pounds. Mm. But for this guy over here, because he's got a Bruges accent, it's only going to be 8.
But then he probably goes there more than I do.
Yeah.
But I'm just on holiday and I'm experiencing and enjoying the culture. And so why shouldn't I be paying for it?
So you'd be really cool with that?
I don't think I wouldn't love it. But I mean, I'd still, if the fact that it's so transparent, Mark, and yeah. I know that it's there and it's not something hidden and sordid and nasty, so to speak, then... Yeah, it's my choice. I guess I'd be okay with it.
All right. So we want to get your thoughts, listeners, on Ticket Talk Back this afternoon. You can either text us on 4001. You can call us on 0442 310. What are your initial thoughts to this story? Is it okay to charge tourists more than locals for the same dish in a restaurant? And how would you react if someone on the next table was, you know, the bill came and it was considerably less than yours? But if you were back in your own country, I want to know this as well, and you were the local, would you welcome it?
Ticket Talk Back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
Yeah, we are talking at Ticket Talk Back and talking about restaurants in Bruges, which is a lovely part of the world, I must say, that are actually charging locals a little bit less than tourists that are going there. Serena, your thoughts on that?
Well, as the article was saying, they charge tourists about 10% more, and it's completely transparent. It's actually put on the receipt in most of the restaurants, and it's more about giving back to the locals, like, kind of, it's not all about the mass tourism, is it? So mm-hmm. I actually understand where they're coming from, and the fact that it's out there, and I don't take offence to it. But what about you, Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not sitting very well with me, this one. You know, if I was sat in a restaurant and somebody ordered the exact same dish and, you know, got themselves a nice 10% discount and I had to pay the full charge, I wouldn't be too happy. One of our listeners just texted in saying, guys, you're missing the point. The price is stated on the menu. It's not a surcharge for tourists, but a discount for locals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the angle that I'm kind of getting it from. But when you're traveling and you go on holiday and you budget, I mean, when you go into the little knick-knacky shops and everything, don't you expect to be slightly ripped off in comparison to everybody else that's traveling?
Probably, yeah. I'm not very good at bargaining, so I'm probably extremely well ripped off, never mind slightly. Yeah, but it never sits well, does it? I mean, I've had it in quite a few taxis where they won't switch on the meter, and you know, it's obvious that I'm being ripped off, and I don't know, I don't like it, and it doesn't really bode well for you going back a second time.
So in Bruges, because they've actually made it's common knowledge, do you think it's because, you know, that's why you're a bit more sort of like not happy with it? Is it because you know?
Yeah.
So if you didn't know and you were oblivious, obviously you'd go along and just pay the bill merrily and with no concerns.
Absolutely, yeah. But then, you know, if I was looking on the next table, I thought, well, yeah, he had the same as me, fish, chips and mushy peas, and he's paying a lot less. I don't think I'd be too happy. But you went around the office a little bit earlier on and posed that question to some of our colleagues. You know, what is your reaction to this story? What do you think about paying more than a local for the same dish?
I don't think so. I think it would be tough for us. You know, first of all, planning a holiday is obviously expensive. And then if we're being told that we're being charged extra because we're in a particular place, I think that would just make it really tough for us and maybe force us to find another place which would treat us just normal and as equal as anyone else.
I personally feel it's okay as long as people are candid about things. I mean, it could be a way of generating more revenue for your own people, for your own citizens.
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I can kind of see both sides of it here. I can understand places with huge amounts of tourism, which can cause a lot of problems, maybe wanting to underthink measures which will enable them to maybe manage it better. But I suppose when you think of a 10% extra charge at things like restaurants, who's that 10% going to? Is it a tax? So is it therefore going to the government or the local council there to use that money to improve the area or to negate the impact of tourism? Or is it going into the coffers of the restaurant owners and just happens to be that they're allowed to charge tourists 10% more? Are they obliged to? Can some restaurants opt out of it? These are the kind of things that I'd be quite curious about to see what side of the fence I'd end up jumping off, because I'm on the fence at the moment.
I felt like, okay, that's just completely unfair. And if you're trying to like attract more tourists, you wouldn't do something like that. I mean, you're basically driving them away. If I want to come and visit your country, give me a reason to stay, not give me a reason to think twice before I eat out or have a nice meal in your country, basically.
It doesn't sound appropriate at all, you know, considering that the services are going to be the same, the product that you're going to be charged for is going to be the same. It's just that based on you being a tourist or a local, you'll be charged differently. To me, it doesn't sound appropriate.
Yeah, I think coming down on my side of the argument there, some of our colleagues.
I'm a little bit upset by that, but Karima doesn't seem too bothered by it. Karima, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Hi.
I just was texting in. I don't mind either. I mean, it's just a way to finalize your customers and make them come back. After all, here as well, all the coffee shops, restaurants, they also give you discounts after the 10th meal or the 10th coffee.
So why can't they give those incentives to tourists as well?
They wouldn't come 10 times, maybe. It's just a way to get the customers. Or maybe, yes, why not? But I don't see it shocking at all.
No, I kind of agree with you, Karima. I think, you know, you're a tourist, you're visiting the country, you're taking in everything, the culture. And yes, it may not be nice to pay that extra amount, but then thinking about it, I would like to think the money is going back into the country and doing more things for when more tourists come in the future.
Correct. And like one listener earlier said also, it's not really a surcharge, it's a discount. So it's not like you are asked to pay more.
Yeah.
It's the opposite, actually. It's the one who are coming more regularly are entitled for a small discount, which is perfectly fine.
Looking after your own.
Yeah, so it wouldn't bother you at all. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking part in the conversation. Once again, you can take part as well. 04423 1010 or text us on 4001. We also asked some of our colleagues how they would react if they saw someone on the next table getting a lesser bill than what they were paying.
I wouldn't react too well, especially if they ordered the same thing I did. I feel like it's a little unfair. I get that they're trying to do it for a good cause, like it, and it's all legal. It's not like they're doing this illegally. But I just think it's unfair. I still think it's really unfair. I wouldn't want my people to do that in my country, so I wouldn't want others to do that with me in their countries, I guess.
Well, if it was made clear beforehand, like that, you know, you're a tourist, so you get charged 10% more. And for example, if it's a tax, then I can understand that and I'd be fine with that. If it wasn't a tax, then I think that's where the issue would come in. Because, you know, I can't really think of that being very fair at all.
Well, it would hurt first, but I would not probably take offense to the fact that if I'm a tourist and I'm being asked to pay extra. But I have to know about these things at the very outset. I should not be duped into anything because that would make me feel really bad.
I wouldn't like it. I don't know. It just doesn't sound right to me just because you're from a certain place that you can eat the same food for much cheaper, but just because I'm not from your place, I'd be very upset.
I would be taken aback. But having said that, if I have, you know, if I'm already aware about this particular law, and if I'm going to Bruges, you know, with this at the back of my mind, then, you know, I know that I can expect this. But then at the same time, when you come face to face with another customer who is a local and who is charged, you know, comparatively lesser than you, then I would definitely be taken aback to a certain extent.
Yeah, so would I. And it would make me think twice about going to that destination. You know, if I think, OK, maybe I'll go next door. I'll go to Paris where they don't do that. Or, you know, I'll go to Madrid, not to Bruges.
I don't know whether it would stop me going somewhere, though. But, I mean, don't you like the idea of a country looking after their own? I mean, Elazar's on the line. Elazar, what do you think? Do you think a country should look after their own residents?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Why not? I mean, I think that, I don't see an issue with it because you're paying the listed price. You're not being asked to pay more than the listed price. It's just that the residents or the locals just get a discount. And we do get that preference here in the UAE as well. I know for myself, several times I've been, for example, to water parks around Dubai, mm-hmm. and if you present your Emirates ID, you get up to 30 or 40% discount.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, you do, actually.
Yeah.
I don't see the tourists being upset because they're still paying whatever the listed price is. But just to encourage the locals to come to these tourist destinations, just bring in your Emirates ID and you get a 30% discount. And I live in Dubai. I could go probably once every month. But these tourists will probably come once a year.
So it wouldn't put you off going to a destination knowing that the locals were paying less than what you were?
No. I think it's very fair. We set a budget for a vacation and we go out and we spend that money. But those guys live there and they, why not get a discount?
You know,
I go to the water park, you know, 5-6 times a year in Dubai.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get a discount. These guys come in once a year. Why not go pay the price?
I'll tell you what, you put a big smile on Serena's face there because she thinks the same way as you.
Yay.
Exactly. Aliza, thanks.
Yeah, why not? It doesn't hurt anybody.
Thanks for your call, Aliza.
Ticket Talk Back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
Yeah, today we're getting a few different opinions on this one. We're talking about Belgium and Bruges, in fact, where restaurants are charging more for tourists to dine in their outlets than they are the locals. Is it right? Does it sit well with you? Is it something that wouldn't bother you whatsoever? Serena seems quite happy.
And Mark's not cool with it at all.
Not at all. I just would not go back to that restaurant. Sorry, you know, if I'm having egg and chips, it should cost the same as the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. We're going to go back to the telephone lines.
Yep, we found somebody that actually agrees with Mark. Rohan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, Rohan. So where do you stand on this? What do you think about this story about being charged more for food in a restaurant?
Well, just because I'm a tourist doesn't mean I need to be paying more than the locals that are eating in the same space, I think. Because the food's going to cost the same anyway for them. They've probably calculated what profit they need. So I can't justify paying more just because I'm a tourist.
But don't you budget when you go on holiday and you expect to, you know, spend a certain amount every day anyway? And if you're going to eat out and treat yourself, you're going to spend to enjoy local food. I know probably the price isn't the best, but wouldn't you expect to do that on holiday anyway, Rohan?
I do budget to spend, but I think the principle of it, of paying more because of a tourist, psychologically, it bothers me, as opposed to here you go to the water parks and they give you a discount being a resident, because then the price is set. I'd rather do it that way than the other way around, paying a premium being a tourist, if that makes sense.
Okay, so here as a resident, if restaurants gave you the discount because you live here, would you quite happily accept it, I'm presuming, wouldn't you?
That's fine, because I think psychologically then it seems the prices are fine, they're set, but okay, there's a residency kind of discount they're giving you, or trying to boost business in the hotter months, fine, but not paying extra for the sake of it, I think, just because you're labeled as a tourist.
Okay.
Right. Rohan, thanks for your call this afternoon. We're going to stay on the telephone lines. We've got more callers coming in. Good afternoon. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. You just heard Rohan's views on it then, being charged more for a meal in a restaurant in Bruges than the person on the next table. What do you think about it?
Well, I think as with everything, we have to think of other people and we have to have some empathy, because there's obviously, especially in a climate where there's in a country where there's many expat workers, blue collar workers who are not traveling. Now, if you have the money to travel, you need to budget for that amount, but you have to consider those who maybe can't afford to travel,
yeah,
but would like to do nice things or go out in their own city, and it doesn't make any sense to raise the price for everyone. So if someone else is getting a break, it's great for them. I mean, this is what society does. We have to look at all factors, you know, all sectors of society.
But is that helping tourism? You know, as a tourist, is it going to leave a bad taste in your mouth? Pardon the pun.
Not if I know that it's being put to good use and that there are, you know, other people who may not be able to go out that are able to because of it. I mean, you look at it, I guess, and there's going to be some people who are quite well off who do get the discount as well. But it's not an increase. It's just that some people are getting a discount.
Yeah, a special rate.
So I'd be paying the same thing. So if Joe Blow besides me gets it cheaper, well, I just have to sort of think, well, maybe there's a good reason why. And I think that is really a good reason to do it. There's a lot of families, for example, here who, you know, are not making a lot of money, and they'd like to get out once in a while as well, and this might enable them to enjoy their life a little better, so why not?
I think also, Deborah, if I was a tourist in Bruges, like, I mean, it would be my choice whether I go to the restaurant that has that's surcharge for tourists, I suppose, supposed to speak. But then you also have the little markets and stuff, and they do amazing food as well. And I don't necessarily have to go to the restaurant. I can just go to a marketplace and purchase
right.
food there and still enjoy my holiday, I would think.
I would think, and I guess it depends on what the surcharge is. But if you know that before you go, then you're right. You have the ability to decide whether you'll go or not.
Yeah.
Deborah, thanks for your call this afternoon. We also went round the office and asked some of our colleagues, if you were back in your home country and that you were the local there, would you welcome this kind of a practice?
I would not back something like that in my home country. I feel like the core of tourism is attracting people from abroad, so you're just going to be driving them away if everything is so expensive, especially if you want to like have a fancy dinner and every time you have to think about, oh, you know, the extra 10% that I have to pay because I'm not a local. I think it's just going to drive people away. I mean, you want people visiting your country, don't do it.
Yes, I kind of second this, because as a source of revenue, generating more revenue for your people, as an extra source of income, it's okay. I mean, as long as people are clear and straightforward about things.
Not in Liverpool, where I'm from. We get a lot of tourists to Liverpool, and it's a great thing for the city. It's what the city is focusing on, and I think the city just wants to try and bring in more and more tourists, so I don't think it would be quite worth there. If you get like different areas where you get a huge influx of tourists, where tourists basically kind of take over in a sense, you know, the cities in the world where you walk around and there seems to be more tourists, certainly in certain locations, than there are locals, I can understand it for there, but not for Liverpool, for example. London, you could maybe understand it in certain areas of London, but wouldn't really be that for it.
I wouldn't, no, because that would be an element of hypocrisy as well. It's like when you go as a tourist abroad, you wouldn't want to be, you know, overcharged, overpriced. So, you know, I would want at home, I would, you know, prefer that the rates are the same, irrespective of whether you're a local or a tourist. But I still don't know whether this is a law or whether this is yet to be, you know, officially implemented, or is this something that restaurants or, you know, service providers back in Bruges are doing, you know, on an underhand basis. I'm not really sure. But if it is, if this is a law, then it's slightly worrying, because, you know, this could maybe become the norm in other cities as well.
No, like if I don't want to be treated that way, I don't think I would treat someone the same way. So it's the same. The same rule applies for our country as well. Although I know that in India, things work similarly, it's not legal. People would, the minute they know you're not from the place, they can obviously take you for a ride. you know, whether it's your taxi or whether it's your food, or charge you more without it being legal. So I find that practice quite upsetting, and it just takes away the fun of seeing a new place and exploring new experiences.